When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast, where we explore how to center our lives and our leadership in the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ.
In the midst of the disruptive cultural shockwaves of the 21st century.
Join us as we learn to take the love of God seriously as the force that holds all of us and everything together.
If you're loving this podcast, we invite you to go deeper and partner with us in our work by joining the Gravity Commons, our online community of practice for connecting and learning together.
As a member of the Gravity Commons, you get access to live podcast recordings with upcoming guests, as well as other opportunities to connect and learn together with us in real time.
Including learning labs, member meetups, discussion boards, online courses, and our practitioner podcasts. Go to gravityleadership.com/commons to find out more. See you in the commons.
Psst. Hey, Matt.
What?
Christy.
Yes?
Psst. Hey.
Psst.
Guys.
What are we,
no.
What are we
guess what day
about?
It is. Guess what day it is.
Friday.
It is Friday as we are recording this.
Thank you. Thank you. Next question.
As this episode will be released, guess what day that is?
Tuesday? Like every Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Same Tuesday.
Yeah, like every Tuesday. Tuesday, July 26th, which is also book launch day.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Which book?
Yeah.
If I had some celebrating noises, actually I do, but I don't remember what button to push, so we might get into trouble with my buttons if I try.
Okay, we're encouraging all listeners.
Oh, hey, that one's fun.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Book launch day.
With every purchase of every book, you get a genie.
Mm-hmm. A genie that will grant you one wish. Oh, it's a creepy genie. Sorry. I'm going to stop playing with these now.
Scary genie.
Bad. They're all bad. Yeah, but it is, though. It's book launch day. It's July 26th. Our book is out officially in the world. I know a lot of people who pre-ordered it got an early copy, and so people have been reading it and following along with this series, and we're really, really grateful for all of that.
Yep.
That's
but we're excited.
That's me. I pre-read. I was like, woohoo!
Pre-ordered, pre-read. Yep, yep.
So good.
Christy, you are like the super fan of this book.
We
appreciate that, and we appreciate everybody who's been following this this whole journey, this saga. Our series here is about halfway over. Today we're talking about Axiom 5, right in the middle, kind of smack dab in the middle of the book.
Yeah.
Love
and,
it.
But yeah, it's book launch day as well. So just a couple housekeeping things before
yes.
we dive in to this episode. One, if you haven't ordered the book, we would love it if you did.
Yeah.
So you can order that from Amazon or IVP, wherever books are sold. If you would, one of the other things about getting a book out into the world, so we hear, is that the Amazon algorithms can be helpful in recommending the book to others if we get, a few reviews in this first week. So if you have read the book, if you enjoyed the book, we'd love it if you went over to Amazon and gave us a review of the book. That would be helpful to us.
We're looking for we're trying to get to 300. Is that what we're trying to get to?
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
But
reviews.
I think the goal is more like, I think the goal is more like
reviews.
30 reviews in the first week.
Oh.
So.
Six stars.
Six, give us six stars to wait, to wait the average. That's kind of like, what do they do in high schools now where like you take the college course and it's like a weighted GPA, right?
You can get
more
than
a 4.0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So anyway, you could give us more than a 5.5 stars. That'd be great, too, if Amazon allows.
Speaking of our book, we're doing another Axiom here today.
We are doing another Axiom. We're marching on through the book.
Mm-hmm.
We're chatting with Christy and with Gino about each of these axioms and kind of how They've lived themselves out in especially Gino and Christy's life, what questions they have, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, axiom five is that God cares about all of it more than we do. Mm. God cares about all of it more than we do. Yeah, this was an interesting chapter to write because this a lot of these axioms, they kind of overlap and they interlock and they intersect with each other, right? They're not like discrete buckets of information that have nothing to do with each other. Yeah. So, you know, God caring about it, all of it more than we do is, you know, is maybe an implication of God being like Jesus. It's an implication of God always being present and at work. But it felt like an important axiom to name, I think, in the way that we name it because of, I think, some of what we've seen in our lives and then in the lives of the people that we disciple and coach is just that there is sometimes an assumption that we have, and we hear it in the way that we pray sometimes, for example, that I have to convince God mm-hmm. to care about little old me. I have to convince God to care about the issues that I'm having or the things that make me anxious or afraid or excited. And it's just, there's a lot of freedom, I think, that comes when we can just relax and know that God cares more than we do about that.
Yeah.
But it also brings up questions, right? It's like, well, if God cares more about it more than I do, then why is it happening still? Or why aren't better things happening? So I think that's what made it a little bit tricky to write this chapter.
You know, I work with a lot of college students, and I think that the question of does God care is a bigger question in their hearts than a lot of other questions, than questions about is God sovereign or, you know, those types of, I don't know. I just think they want to really know that there's a God out there who really cares about what's going on in their lives. So it's important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, should we get into it?
We got to dive in.
I think we can dive in.
We got to giddy up.
Giddy up.
Christy's
saddle dancing. Up your horses.
You can tell Christy's been swimming with her kids this week.
She's like, yeah, no, Christy's you told me I needed other statements that Stephen Curtis Chapman said in his songs.
We should have looked up more lyrics from Stephen Curtis Chapman.
They just live in my body.
Well, the one that's very available to me is Saddle Up Your Horses.
Yeah.
We got a trailer place.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Wow. I got six kids behind the door there waiting. Like, Mom, when are we going swimming? Mom, okay. I'm like, give me just a few minutes.
Give me a few minutes. I got to record a podcast episode.
Yeah.
Well, Christy, we do appreciate you being able to take some time away from your vacation to be able to record this with us.
Yeah.
This is an exciting day. We're really excited about our book launch. And again, listeners, if you haven't ordered the book, please do so. That helps us out. And leave us a review at Amazon. And let's get this stuff out into the world.
All right.
So, and let's get on to axiom five here. God cares about all of it more than we do. Hey,
here we go.
Giddy up, saddle up. Everybody, welcome to Axiom 5 in our series on the new book, Having the Mind of Christ, 8 Axioms to Cultivate a Robust Faith, a More Resilient Faith. Hmm. We are back once again with Gino Curcaruto and Christy Penley, and Matt Tebby's here as well. Hey, everybody, how's everybody doing? We doing all right today?
Hello.
Yes. I'm doing great.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. We are moving on from axioms 1 through 4 into axiom 5. We've mentioned this previously, but these axioms kind of build on one another. They overlap with one another. They aren't necessarily discrete sort of buckets of information, but rather they are overlapping, interlocking phrases, statements, axioms, memes, if you will, that give us access to new paradigms about who God is, about how God works in the world, about what's going on in our lives, in and through our lives. So maybe just by way of review, it might be helpful. Some of you have been hanging out with us for this whole series, but maybe some listeners are just joining us today. The first axiom is that God is love, and so it's all about love. Axiom two is that God is always present and at work. Axiom three is that God is just like Jesus. And last week we talked about axiom four, that God meets us in our messy reality. And today we talk about another implication of kind of the, the collected feeling of those first four axioms. Also leads us to say in axiom five that God cares about all of it more than we do. God cares about all of it more than we do. And this, I think this phrasing comes from the fact that I, one of the things that I notice about my life is that I used to pray as if I had to convince God to get on board with what I wanted to see happen, right? I used to assume that the things that I cared about were things that either God didn't care about or that I had to convince God to care about. And so this axiom for me has been a balm that allows me to rest in the fact that whatever I am concerned about in my life, whatever I am distressed about or care about, that God shares that, but also cares about those things even more than I do, because my care for those things is just a sliver of God's care. So, Gino and Christy, I wonder if we can start our discussion with this question for you. Like, how has this axiom proven true in your life? In what ways has this been helpful for you?
I want to actually ask a question first.
The first thing that comes to mind when I... Go ahead.
Sorry, Gino. I just want to ask a question first, because I am wondering if some of our listeners are hearing this and then saying, okay, God cares about it more than I do. I'm not even sure that God cares about it a little bit. And that's just been my experience as I've talked to different friends or families or people in my neighborhood. I just recently, a pretty tragic event happened 6 months ago with some kids in our neighborhood, and two kids passed away. And then heard this week that one of those kids' parents passed away. And just talking to my neighbors and talking to people, I mean, their idea is, I don't think God even cares. Where is he? What's happening? And so I'm curious if you can just address the question that maybe many of us have is, when there's a death, when there's a tragedy, when there's a global pandemic, when there's, fill in the blank with what's going on in your life that feels so important and really hard. What do you say to that? I mean, all three of you are pastors, and so I know you don't just give pat answers. I know that you are meeting people with where they are, but what would you say to my friend of, I don't even know if God cares at all?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Christy, thanks for starting with the hardest question possible. that's great.
That's what I'm here for.
Ben, I can take this one. Okay, all real right, quick. Christy,
yeah.
God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Next question.
No.
Just some good old spiritual bypassing.
No.
You just got to trust God more. Oof. You just got harder.
Go harder. So, Christy, as you're talking, I think there's two issues here. One is that we've believed that God's care will look a certain way. And two is that somehow we've missed one of the archetypal, regular, consistent experiences in Scripture is twofold. Is one, people thinking God doesn't care, and two, people experiencing God's care in surprising ways. So, I'm just thinking through like the story of Israel and years and years of exile, or Hagar, the first person who names God, names him, "You are the God who sees me." But the reason she names him that is because she spent years thinking that God doesn't care. I think of Eve in the garden. You know, we often talk about that temptation to eat the fruit in various ways, but one of the ways to describe it is essentially Eve thought, God doesn't care about me. And so I want to maybe just say, without dismissing, you know, are your kids struggling at school and getting bullied? Do you just have a diagnosis that is, you know, fatal or terminal? Do you have a parent or a sibling that you've prayed for years to come to faith or get help with an addiction or cure a mental illness and nothing has happened? Yeah, have you been hurt in a church by a pastor or a youth, a leader, or somebody that the church didn't do anything about, and now you can't even drive past a church without getting triggered? Like, all of that's real, and all of it's awful. And this axiom isn't, you know, I make a joke because this axiom, we want it to be an anti-bypassing axiom in the sense that I think too often we have just assumed or told ourselves explicitly that God's care will look like controlling things and making them perfect. And we have story after story in Scripture where that's just not, we don't see that happening. We don't see that actually taking place. In fact, there's entire books that are written to sort of, in the Hebrew mind, like the book of Job, for instance, to dialogue about, to dialogue with this notion that if you do good things, then God will take care of you. Yeah. So I guess I just want to say that the feeling like God doesn't care is biblical. And so if you feel like that, you come from a long line of people who feel like God doesn't care. And the second thing is that care often looks differently than we'd want it to be. And would be, if we were God, we might care, we might think we would care differently, but care often comes in surprising ways. So those are the two responses I have, Christy. And do those feel respectful? Do they feel
That's
like,
good.
Do they feel respectful? I'm trying not to dismiss or belittle tragedy, because I think that is, I mean, you can't, like, it's real. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. I think we have to name, God's care looks different. I think that's really good. And actually, well, we can talk about this later, but the exercise at the end of this chapter, I think, is really powerful. And I know I'm kind of skipping to the end, but it's probably good to name here. But, you know, when we're feeling that way, when we feel like, God, I don't see you working the way that I want you to work, or I don't feel like you care, maybe the prayer isn't, God, do you care? But maybe, you know, sitting in, God, I believe you care more about this than I do. Show me how you're at work. And just that switch of a prayer, I think, tunes our hearts and names how we're feeling as well. And so I think that that's just a good exercise. I've done it. I think it's a good exercise and helps us out.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben or Gina, what do you think about Christy's question?
Yeah, yes. I think that there he is. Good.
Sorry, guys. I just realized I had this great response to Christy, but my mic was muted the whole time. So anyway, I don't
just
remember what I said.
Just shooting bullets into the ground. Ben Sternke.
Yep. Yeah,
the best, like, sound bites.
Like,
you'll never hear
I was a little
them.
Confused because you interrupted me, Matt. And I was like, wait, what's happening? Oh, I muted my mic. So yes, Christy, here's what I was trying to say to y'all. Christy, that prayer, that reframing that you just articulated has been one of the key aspects of this axiom for me. Yeah. That I realize that I do assume that God's care, if God cared, well, certainly X, Y, or Z would be happening. And I did think of the exercise that we put at the end of this chapter, which is to sort of put yourself in the position of Mary and Martha, whose brother had just died. Right. And they both say the exact same thing to Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And so into that you can read, if you really cared as much as I do about my brother, like, you would have come earlier. That's what would have happened. And so this axiom is, as Matt said, it's not meant to sort of bypass those things, but it is meant to open us up to the possibility that my assumptions about how God should be working in this situation, or what God would be doing if God cared, if we can manage to just let go of those just a little bit, and not just bypass the painful emotions, but bring them to God in prayer, like the Psalms help us to do, right? If we can actually bring those to God in prayer and pray these prayers that, you know, the psalmists have prayed, Mary and Martha prayed, the disciples after the crucifixion of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they were like, what in the world? Like, this is not how we anticipated. Like, the people of God, like, nobody guessed. Nobody guessed, even though Jesus told them all, the disciples. But nobody guessed that the way that God was going to save the world was by a Jewish man dying on a cross and being raised from the dead. Like, that, it just nobody predicted that, you know? And so God was at work. God has been at work, you know, saving the world through totally unexpected and, you know, in our eyes, crazy ways since the beginning. So anyway, so that prayer has been super helpful for me. What were you going to say, Gino?
I want to cultivate the idea that and the feeling that God's presence is good news, in the sense. So I really agree with all of it that's been said, and that, you know, God works maybe, or is doing something different than what we expect, and maybe can we? But I want to be, if we're talking pastorally, I want to be sensitive with that, as Matt was, and you were as well, when Ben, and how you shared that, and say, like, could it be good news that God is here, and that some of the work that God is doing is maybe reframing how we might even think this is what's happening here is good work for us. It might be an alternative take on the book of Jonah, but I often, as I think about that, I find value in seeing how God is persistent with Jonah. He does everything in the way that, you know, as a church planter, you wouldn't want to have that attitude. You share this horrible sermon and everyone comes to faith and you're like, man, despite of me, look at what's happening. They're building a crowd, right? And he's like upset about it. But I think that God continually pursues Jonah. And I wonder, I think, if we're supposed to be left with this thought of, is God's presence with Jonah in the midst of Jonah's rejection of wanting to be with God, running from God? Is that good news? And why, when and how might that be good news for us? So maybe in tragedy, all we have is it still good news that God's with me in this?
Hi, I'm Deb from Ormond Beach, Florida. One of the best gifts that I received for my journey through a Gravity Leadership cohort was a new perspective on flourishing in life and in ministry. I didn't realize how much of my discipleship was formed by call-out culture. My whole orientation was toward calling out what was wrong or sinful in the world, in my own life, and in the church. But Gravity helped me see that Christ was always calling people in toward life and flourishing. And my cohort came to feel kind of like a community garden. We got to practice calling each other in to a deeper awareness of God's life, of His goodness and His love, and how it was bearing fruit in our lives. So if you're looking for a safe space to grow in your life with God and to practice your gardening skills in the life of others, I hope you'll check out the Gravity Leadership Academy.
To find out more about Gravity Leadership Academy, visit gravityleadership.com/academy.
You know, the drama that drives the book of Job is, if God cares about Job, then none of this would happen. But it's happening. So does God care about Job? Yeah. The drama that drives the book of Jonah is, God certainly can't care for the Ninevites. And so Jonah's going to be faithful.
Right.
And in his faithfulness to assuming God doesn't care about somebody, he's proven to be wrong. And so I mean, I'm just thinking, my mind is just going a mile a minute thinking through the scriptures about all the ways we get this, the assumptions about who God cares for and what that looks like wrong.
Yeah.
And I think this axiom then is not a call to bypass things or to put easy answers on things. It's just to say, look, this is a core misunderstanding that we have as human beings. What does God's care look like? Who is God's caring for, and how is he doing it? And I think if we can just exhale for a moment, open our hands and say, God, if I trusted that you cared about all this more than I did, where would I see that? Yeah. What would that look like? Where are you at work?
Yeah. I think about perception and capacity here. You know, what my perception on what care looks like and God's capacity to care for everything more than I do. And I think those are the areas where I might be missing it, is I misperceive what's happening, or I misperceive even what God's capacity is. And so if we have this sense, like you are communicating in this chapter, that God cares about everything then more than we do, then maybe that opens us up to the possibility that in these really difficult circumstances, God is present and caring in ways that we might need or might have the opportunity to learn from, and also in the mundane things. Hmm. And so if I kind of return back, I don't want to like move away from this conversation, because this conversation is everything to me. I think it's really important. But I mean, your original question was kind of like, I find it interesting that to me, the experiences that this brings up for me is more the ordinary stuff of life.
Oh, interesting.
And how God is shaping me to believe that he is present and caring about conflict that I have in relationships with people, because that's just part of life. Because I have a virtual death grip on conflict, wanting it resolved so that I don't have to feel the pain of conflict anymore, than I do really about caring about how it's resolved. Just that it would not be felt anymore. And God is like slowly going like, why don't you release your index finger and the other one, like take your grip off of this and recognize that I'm doing work in you on this.
Yeah, that's really good, Gino. I think, you know, Christy, I was joking that you jumped, you know, straight to the really hard question. But I am glad you did. But Gino, I'm glad you brought us back here as well, because this is, I think, another way that this axiom works is, yes, I mean, on the one hand, to assure us of God's care in the midst of tragedy and really, really difficult, you know, circumstances and situations, and try to help us maintain faith and allow us to grow in faith in those things. But I think this axiom also speaks to people like yourselves who want to learn how to live their everyday ordinary life in God, right? More consciously in God, at least. Because I think you're right that a lot of us walk around with the assumption that God is actually concerned about really big things, you know, like people who have really hard lives, God's helping them. Or, you know, God cares about maybe the person I'm going to marry or my job that I take. And so like I pray and I try to discern how God's at work in the midst of big life decisions. But how's God at work in just like normal conflict in my community? Well, you know, that's just this annoyance that we need to get over with as soon as possible. Or that's just a problem I need to fix, you know, ASAP. But I think learning to, or even just like things that I enjoy, you know what I mean? Like, you know, just little things about life that are fun for me, you know, believing that God is somehow present and at work and cares about the little things. I think is really part of what this axiom is meant to speak to. Go ahead, Christy.
It's funny because I lived with a almost 80-year-old woman when I was in grad school. I called her Grammy, and she was such a delight, and she was mostly deaf. And anyway, she hook, line, and sinker believed God cares about it more than her. to the like all the mundane things. She would go to the grocery store and she'd be like, oh my goodness, apples were on sale. And like, look at how God cares for me. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, Grammy, you're so weird. But she like taught me, embodied that for me, that then when I was a young mom and doing laundry and doing dishes and sweeping my floor and being like, does God see me? Does God care about this? There was this, oh, Grammy modeled that for me, even though it seemed kind of weird and kind of out there. There was, because I did, I believe that only God cared about the big things, that then to see the mundane be played out was a real encouragement. So I just wonder, maybe there's young moms that are listening and they're folding the laundry and they're like, oh my gosh, maybe you just need to hear that. And hopefully that is good news for you that God cares.
Yeah.
I will just echo this, Christy, is that I learned this axiom from mostly older saints who have endured great tragedy and suffering in their life. And instead of being bitter and instead of becoming angry, instead of becoming small and closed off, they have this expansiveness of spirit, this indomitable hope. And many of those older saints who've done that are from what we would consider more marginalized or minority communities, right? And so this is how this axiom became clear to me, is that these people got nothing their way, had everything against them, and somehow through it grew to become mothers and fathers to us about God's care versus seizing upon that opportunity to reject that God exists or reject that God cares. And that is such a, if you've been around a person like that, it is such a powerful witness to the kingdom. And I think then we had, then we went back to scripture and was like, oh yeah, this is how Jesus lived. This is how he operated. And so your story just reminds me of that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think that's true. You know, one of the questions we've been asking, you know, is where is this axiom sort of difficult for you to really believe or really live out? And I hear both of you kind of saying there's in the big tragic things, but also in the small little things, it's hard to know, you know, how God is present and at work in the midst of that. I wonder if we could double click on that. What difference does it make for you? Maybe we can go start with you, Gino, like, because you mentioned this in terms of God being at work in the little things, but what difference does it make for you as you deal with conflict in your community or maybe some other places where it is difficult to believe that God cares about it more than you do? What's the difference that makes to believe that God does care more about it? Like practically, how does it change the way that you engage in those situations?
No, that's a good question. So one thing, we're talking about the conflict, that makes a difference in how I'm relating to conflict. For me, it starts to open up, maybe as I kind of indicated earlier, that maybe there's something that's at work that needs to be worked on in me. Why am I feeling like it's just most important to get this conflict over with? And that would mean like move around the conflict rather than move through it, because I just don't want to feel this. So this is probably becoming a theme as we move through each of these chapters together that I'm continually talking about, my need to work through pain and not move around pain. But then maybe like another aspect is another thing, another place where maybe I struggle to believe that God cares about this is in my where I live. There's a lot of gun violence in our city, and there's a lot of gun violence in our neighborhood, and there's a lot of gun violence on my block. And so I hear shootings pretty regularly. And sometimes I'm thinking like, why hasn't this just been resolved? Like, why are we still doing this? And I think that doesn't mean a lack of God's care. It might mean that there's other forces at work in the world.
Yeah.
So this helps me. This does work in me to recognize this is not a closed system with my ideas about like God acts and then it happens. There's other things happening around here. And perhaps I would do well to pay attention to some of those things, to engage some of those evils and resist them. And so I think it helps expand my awareness as well.
Yeah, that's really good. How about you, Christine?
You know, the first thing that came to mind was, you know, bigger events that have happened in my life. And what I thought of, one of my kids has like a tumor disorder where he grows tumors, different parts of his body. And he has to always get them biopsied to make sure that they are non-cancerous. And when he was four, he had a surgery. It was when we first found out, but he had a surgery. There were six tumors in his head. And it was the night before surgery, and we had no idea what it was. And at that point, the doctors were like, this is something we are not familiar with, so it wasn't looking good for us. And I remember, like, really kind of asking God, do you care? Because my mama heart is breaking, and there's no way you care about this more than me. And coming to the realization that he does care brought to me a comfort of not just that he cared, but it coupled with he's present with me. He's with me and I'm not alone. And I think that's what it does for me and for my heart in believing and pressing into this axiom of God cares more about it than me, whatever it is, whether it's conflict or my kids, you know, tumor disorder or a job loss or moving or a diagnosis or whatever, the idea that God cares about it brings a comfort of I'm not alone in this then because someone cares about it more than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good. There's a quote from this chapter that I think encapsulates a lot of this that I'll just read. I think this encapsulates a lot of what y'all have been talking about. To say that God cares about all of it more than we do isn't to assert that we always get what we want, or that we won't suffer, or that bad things won't happen. This axiom isn't a spell we cast to ensure that only good will come to us. But this axiom does enable us to carry the easy yoke of Christianity, learning to trust God's presence and power in our immediate circumstances as an abiding ocean of self-emptying, cross-shaped, others-empowering, cosmos-ruling love. I think that's what you are both naming here, that God's presence with us is a certain kind of presence. It's not a magic genie that, you know, gives us three wishes. It doesn't give us what we want, you know, all the time. But God's presence is love, which we talked about in the first axiom, which doesn't always do exactly what we think it's going to do, and sometimes takes centuries to work out, you know, what we want to be finished in a second. And so learning to trust that God's presence is with us, I think, is part of, you know, it's part of this axiom.
Yeah.
So, just to maybe wrap this up, any further explorations that y'all would want? Well, like, what questions does this leave you with? This chapter, anything that you'd want to explore more, you know, either here on the podcast today or maybe just in a future edition of the book or your own explorations. Yeah.
Something that I'm thinking about just as we're talking and I'm listening to how our conversation kind of started is I think that there's a little bit of a distinction between why did something bad happen? And does God care about the bad things that happened? And so those are related conversations, but I think they are distinct. We might experience them, you know, emotionally in very similar ways and not, you know, I'm not sitting here trying to over intellectualize pain. I'm just saying that I think those could be two related, but different conversations. So, but I think they're important to my question, which is when we talk about consent, these questions about why did this happen and does God care are things that might block or interfere with our trust to consent to God. And so if that makes sense to either or all of you, I'm wondering ways in which you think about consent in light of those realities that we question. And are we saying that you might need to trust God in spite of what you're believing or experiencing? Or are we saying God is trustworthy because X, Y, Z?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I understand where you're, at least here's what fires in my mind when you ask that question, yeah. Gino. I think that to say that God cares about it more than we do and that God is always present at work, like everything that we've said so far, is not to say that the thing that is happening is good or God's will. Mm-hmm. And so I think consenting to what God is doing, it requires discernment because it doesn't just mean accepting circumstances as they are. Like sometimes consenting to how God is, and this gets back to what you were talking about earlier, Gino, where part of God's heart for us is that we would actually participate in what God is doing. Like we participate in the life of God, and that means we become agents of the power of God. We become agents of God's mission and life in the world. And so it's not like yeah. we're working for God, but the way that God accomplishes God's purpose in the world is not just by waving his hand and things happen. It's through his empowered creatures, through us, right? His image yeah. bearers. Yeah. And so I do. That's at least what, you know, I'm not sure if this is what you're getting at, but for me, knowing that God cares about things more than I do sometimes needs to empower me to take some action to change something or to not accept mm-hmm. a certain situation as mm-hmm. a given, but to say, you know what, I need to speak up here. I need to say something. I need to move in some way to be faithful to the God who cares about it more than I do. So I don't know if that's where you were going with that, but that's what came to mind for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I'm throwing it out there to try and see where it lands and help me okay. process yeah. through. So there was no intended response.
Yeah. yeah, the only thing I'd add to what Ben said is that we've got to remember that these axioms aren't meant to like gaslight you or argue right. with you. So if you're in a situation right now where you don't see God's care or don't see God's work, that's okay. This axiom actually is holding out, and we talk about this more in the book. It's holding out. Jesus seemed to live with this assumption always in mind, so he could leave people in one town who hadn't been healed yet, and go to the next. He could go to sleep, even though there were still demon possessions and people dying. He could wake up. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a couple stories of people being risen from the dead. Think of all the people that died in his life that he didn't rise from the dead, or we don't have stories about. And so, so for me, it's more of a what if, or maybe. Right. And it's like, it's just an offer. It's a suggestion. When Jesus lived as though God cared about all of it more than he did, or we do, he did some fairly audacious things. You know, like he took some real risks, but he also did some things that maybe he wouldn't have done if it had been all up to him or if he was on his own. And so I think it's just an invitation to allow that reality to settle in an area of your life and then to ask what would be different? What would be different? Is that helpful, Gino, Christy?
That's great. Yeah, that's really helpful.
I think most of this conversation has been kind of revolving around believing that we care a lot about a lot of things, even the mundane or the big things. Mm-hmm. But to ask the question, what about the things that I don't care very much about? Hmm. He still cares more about that. And what I'm meaning by that is I would say in the last 2 or 3 years, my eyes have been opened to some social justice things that I don't think I cared a lot about. Mm. And God cares more about it than I do. Mm. And there's comfort in that. And I'm growing in actually wanting my heart to care like he does about racism, about minorities, about single moms, about, you know, you fill in the blank. Mm. My heart, I think, also is challenged by this axiom in that way,
yeah.
where I not only want to name, yes, God cares about it more than me, I also want my heart to grow and say, God, would you be growing my heart to care about it like you do?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's great perspective, Christy. What a great prayer. I think there's, it's like a dual trust there, trusting that God's going to grow my capacity to care. But also for me as well, like to your point, Matt, it helps me to know that when I can't care, when it's too much, you know what I mean? Like I think of, you know, like, I don't know, you see tragic stuff on the internet all the time now, you know, school shootings or like things like that, where it's like, I know God cares about this and this is deeply tragic, but there's like some part of me sometimes that's just like, I don't know if I can bear this, you know, like right now. And I feel shame about that in one sense, because, and I think there's part of me that, you know, is trying to avoid, you know, pain and that kind of thing. But I think there's another part of us that's just like, we're just humans. And we actually aren't meant to bear this amount of like daily news about tragedy from all across the world. Like we're not, we actually can't like sustain that. And part of me is comforted knowing that God can, you know, that God can. And so, and then there's a, I think then the prayer becomes, to your point, Christy, help me to know what's mine to care about with you, God. And help me to know how to just trust you that you're taking care of things through other people. But help me know, you know, like grow my capacity to care like you do about the things that matter. So it's a good word. Good conversations, y'all. I'm having a ton of fun chatting with you every week as we talk about these axioms. I hope you guys will continue, because there are a few axioms to go. Gino, Christy, can we count on you?
I'll be here.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
Good. Well, good. We've got how many more axioms? We've got three more axioms, and we've got the conclusion of the book. So four more chapters to talk through.
And the book launch in the middle of this.
The book launch in the middle of this, which is actually, we're recording this before the book launch, but Christy, a secret, this listeners will know this because they just listened to this intro as well. But today, when this episode drops, is the book launch.
Whoa. Wow.
So anyway, yes. Today, friends, the book is available. And so, hey, pick it up. We'll leave
that just
information
blew my
about
mind. I don't even know like how to.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm excited about something that already happened that hasn't happened yet. I just feel I don't even know how to, I don't know.
That is so true. But yes, the book launch has happened, friends. You can get this book wherever books are sold.
Mm-hmm.
You can get 30% off by using the code GRAVITY if you buy it from IVP. There's a link in the show notes to that. But we do hope that you'll pick this book up and continue to read along with us as we continue this series. It's, like I said, going to be four more weeks. Next week, we're going to be talking about Axiom 6. God does the same work through us and in us. Mm. And we actually get into something, the spec and the log.
Yep.
Yeah, in this chapter, something that we've referred to already in this podcast series. So anyway, Gino, Christy, Matt, we'll see you next time for our next recording. And that's probably all we need to say.
Peace.
Peace, beloved.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gravity Leadership Podcast. If you're finding it helpful, we'd love it if you tell your friends about it.
Ratings and reviews online also help others find the podcast. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
You can join our Gravity community for free. You'll get our latest content delivered straight to your inbox, as well as an email most Fridays with curated links to articles that we found interesting or helpful. To join us, go to gravityleadership.com/join.
Our show is produced by Ben Sturkey and Matt Tebby. Aaron Sturkey edits and mixes the podcast. You can check out his work at aaronsturkey.com.
We'd love to hear from you. To record a question or comment for us, go to gravityleadership.com/message. And click the Start Recording button.
You can also email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com. Catch you next time.
In Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.